Emmy Award-winning comedian John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix Is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A. debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time only on Netflix.
I finished The Holdovers last night.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
It was so sweet. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Really good movie.
Made me really happy.
Yeah.
I also finally finished it this weekend.
It didn't do any of the I was like, there were moments where I was like, oh, no. And it didn't do anything.
It was just a nice, simple movie. With a nice, simple story that was just like, no big parts. Just well acted.
Yeah. But I do think, having now seen it, that Paul Giamatti should have absolutely won.
I agree.
And
nice. I agree.
Cillian Murphy should not have won. And we're back. I am here with Kendra, Hallie,
woo,
Sarah.
Back at it.
Hello.
Tuesday.
You bet. That's exactly what it is. Let's get into it. What a weekday. Nice. The general election kicked off in earnest over the weekend, with President Biden and Donald Trump holding dueling rallies in Georgia on Saturday night.
Donald Trump has a different constituency. Here's a guy who's kicking off his general election campaign on the road up with Marjorie Taylor Greene. It can tell you a lot about a person who he keeps company with.
Finally, a clue about what sort of person Donald Trump is. Also on Saturday, Biden's campaign announced a $30 million general election advertising campaign and released the first ad of that new phase, which opens by acknowledging concerns about Biden's age.
Look, I'm not a young guy. That's no secret. But here's the deal. I understand how to get things done for the American people.
It's always good to be direct about your biggest liability. Confront it head on. That's why I lead with a swimsuit pic on my Raya profile. Come on. That's not fair. Other options for that were all the trash in my car and my Myers-Briggs results.
Just like you have options.
Yeah.
That was better than we didn't end up talking about it, but that was at least better than that State of the Union thing that they released with all the presidents from the film.
That was tough.
Oh, that was tough.
That was tough. But we're not talking about that anymore because all Biden's back, baby. Biden's high energy State of the Union performance helped put some of those concerns about his age to rest. New York Times columnist Ezra Klein, who last month sounded the alarm about Biden not being up to running again, published a new op-ed on Sunday titled "Fine, Call It a Comeback." He got Ezra back, baby. And Ezra's And Ezra's content is the tip of the spear for one of Biden's most important constituencies, elder millennials who know where their birth certificate and Social Security card is, and they have a lot of opinions about Trader Joe's. The kind of people who read Infinite Jest in college and know that people do cocaine but have never seen it.
Dweebs.
Dweebs. Wrote Klein, if the Joe Biden who showed up to deliver the State of the Union address last week is the Joe Biden who shows up for the rest of the campaign, you're not going to have any more of those weak-kneed pundits suggesting he's not up to running for re-election. Here's hoping he does. All respect to Ezra, but this is too important to be passive about. We all need to stop hoping and start mailing our spare amphetamines to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Yes, Biden's energetic presentation at the State of the Union and at his rallies has led conservatives to transition from too old to too high. Sean Hannity, for example, called him Jacked Up Joe. And I hope he is jacked up. This is his last fight. I hope his doctors have the same attitude as a football coach in the 1960s before everybody saw how fucked up Johnny Unitas was. Inject the knees with steroids. Get him on Provigil, Oxycontin, the Spice Melange, whatever. Winning is all that matters. There is no next year. Run Joe Biden like he's the horse at the end of True Grit.
Joe Biden's going to win the Tour de France this year.
Yeah. Let's get Joe Biden on a bicycle.
Actually, maybe not.
Yeah, no bicycles. No bicycles. No bicycles.
He's going to win it on foot.
Yeah. A CNN poll found that 65% of Americans who watched the State of the Union had a positive reaction. That 65% includes two types of viewers, the ones who tune into politics like normal people, wanting to see what the president proposes and curious about how he'd perform given age concerns. And then there's the freaks like us, watching in the hopes that he'd wow the normies. And we all had a great night.
I was here.
Sarah was here at the office.
Mm-hmm. Was it thrilling?
It was fine.
Was the food good?
It was, actually. Shout out to Ben, the office manager.
Woo, Ben.
Shout out, Ben, who is constantly, just one thing that's very funny about just ordering food for Crooked Media is there is a cold war between the vegans and vegetarians and the meat eaters.
As there should be.
And we're winning, baby.
Playing out, the vegans are winning, playing out in the ratio of vegan options to non-vegan options, to the point at which there was a chicken that got through, and everyone was pretty excited that there was a chicken option.
Because here's the thing, everyone can eat the vegan things. That's true. Have no limitations.
They might not want to, but they can.
I mean, some of us are allergic to soy.
Okay, well...
Right.
Take that, vegans.
I mean, we could all just eat rice.
And vegetables.
But I'm just saying that, like, that of course we could all choose one collective ingredient. Like, we could remove ingredients like an allergy-restricted diet until we were down to one food item.
It just
would be less pleasant.
You got five things. One of them is meat. You can eat five things. I can eat four things.
And the other four are beans.
And I, again, and I hope that that's what happens. I hope that you get four things and we get one thing.
You get five things.
I don't really feel like I get five things. It doesn't feel like five things.
Okay, well, that's your feeling. Anyway, shout out to Ben.
Biden's speech also goosed the number of viewers who believe the country is heading in the right direction from 45% before the speech up to 62% after, which is a huge relief as long as you don't think too much about the fact that polling on this question can swing by a psychotically large 70% after a single speech. There's also a caveat to this numbers, which is that 65% of viewers with a positive reaction to the State of the Union is actually the lowest number in a few decades. But there's a caveat to this caveat, because usually a large majority of people who watch the State of the Union support the president to begin with. You kind of watch it's like a home team thing. But this year, viewers were less aligned with Biden than the norm, maybe because more people tuned in to see how he do, given concerns about his age, and he did well. Like it's like the Westminster Dog Show. Whether the dogs are cute or they tear a judge's throat out, either way, you're watching, you know? Meanwhile, as Biden spent the week arguing for democracy, his opponent went the other way, hosting Hungarian's autocratic leader Viktor Orban for a meeting at Mar-a-Lago. Trump said this of Orban.
He's a non-controversial figure because he said this is the way it's going to be and that's the end of it, right? He's the boss. And you know, he's a great leader.
It's amazing how non-controversial you become when you start arresting anyone who disagrees with you. If people think they'll get in trouble for not telling the truth, they suddenly have a much kinder opinion. But thankfully, that's not an issue at Crooked Media, where everyone agrees I'm the greatest boss in the world.
You bet, boss.
Woo! So much enthusiasm from the back.
I'm getting paid to do this.
Yeah, the engineer's freaking out. Charlotte's raising the roof for me.
Yeah.
I got a hand from DeLon.
That's right.
Orban then said in a Sunday interview that Trump told him Trump would cut off funding to Ukraine if he returns to power. To be fair, he said that to everyone who stood next to him at those fancy urinals carved out of ice. Pure class at the Lago. I'm telling you. Trump also spent the weekend in Rome, Georgia, mocking Biden's stutter.
I'm going to bring the country together. I'm going to bring it together.
Forget Biden's disorder. What about disorder? The order that Trump owes $400 million.
Hell yeah. You got it.
You piece of shit.
Yeah. Got him.
Trump, we got him. Trump also ranted extensively about Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis.
So corrupt Fannie Willis hired her lover, Nathan Wade, so they could fraudulently make money together. Let's make money, darling. Let's see. Who can we go after? Well, if we go after somebody that nobody ever heard of, we can't make much. I got an idea. Let's do what Joe Biden and everybody else want. Let's go after Trump. And we did nothing wrong. Perfect phone call.
Just want to remind everybody, there are millions of people out there, millions and millions of people who listen to this and think, yes, I like this. This is my person. Some of them are your neighbors, maybe even your parents. Most of them drive cars on the roads with your kids. Just something fun to think about. I also, the idea, like, if you just play this out. So Fannie Willis goes to law school, becomes a lawyer, works her way up to becoming the district attorney of Fulton County, launches an investigation into former President Donald Trump, produces a vast racketeering indictment so that she could go on a free trip to Belize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all for that trip to Napa.
Well, you know what they say, Black women, we have to work twice as hard to get half as much, so...
Okay. Yep. And that's one way to think about it. And
it's hard to hear him say lover too.
Yeah.
Lover's
hit hard.
He loves lover. That's what he said about the
lover.
I will say it is a surprising number of people fucking while they go after Donald Trump. Because wasn't there also the other? Who was the other? Remember, who was the last couple that he called the lovers?
Oh.
The texting lovers.
Yeah.
Who were they?
Stroke
and someone else. They were lovers.
He has a nickname for her, but I forget what it is.
Well, anyway, it's part of his repertoire. Trump continued with this.
And they traveled all over the world together. Isn't that romantic? Is anybody, I mean, it's sort of a beautiful love story. These are beautiful people. To me, it's a magnificent love story. Nothing like Gone with the Wind. You know, Gone with the Wind, you're not allowed to watch it anymore, right? You know that, right? It's politically incorrect to watch Gone with the Wind.
Truly incredible to watch his mind work, just ricocheting. First of all, there's zero chance that Donald Trump has ever sat through all 4 hours of Gone with the Wind, which, by the way, is not a beautiful love story.
No.
That's not what that movie is.
That's really what it's about.
To him, it was, but...
He couldn't make it through 4 hours of Gone with the Wind. He couldn't make it through 4 minutes of his own Fonnie Willis grievances without getting bored and pivoting to woke. It is a wild, just a Gone with the Wind. Ah, they're trying to cancel Gone with the Wind. People loved it.
He has like three grooves in his brain and everything eventually falls into one of those grooves. Yeah.
Like how the width of train tracks was determined by the width of the chariots in ancient Rome.
Exactly.
And his brain formed specific grooves by reading the New York Post in like the 1980s. And those grooves are the only grooves that the news can fit into.
They just get deeper and deeper.
Deeper and deeper and
America's
deeper.
Grooves.
Hey, Trump's got his grooves back.
Make America grooves again.
But Trump wasn't done laying out his crisp, tight re-election message. On Monday, in his first interview since the State of the Union, Trump suggested he is open to cutting Medicare and Social Security once in office.
So first of all, there is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting, and in terms of also the theft and the bad management of entitlements, tremendous bad management of entitlements. There's tremendous amounts of things and numbers of things you can do.
So first of all, there's a lot you can do in terms of cutting. It's also the worst thing you can hear a surgeon say right before they push you under. Biden jumped on the comments.
Many of my Republican friends want to put Social Security and Medicare back on the chopping block again. If anyone tries to cut Social Security and Medicare or raise retirement age again, I will stop them. Working people built this country.
Biden continued, raising the retirement age is why I'm stuck running again. Do you think I want this? No, I want to be home in Delaware feeding my baby monster commander. Fresh cuts of agent meat. But look at us now. I'm stuck doing an office job and commander is biting whatever he can find, my poor baby. The only way to protect the retirement age is to keep this old man working until he's 86 years old. It's counterintuitive, but so is swimming parallel to the beach if you get caught in a riptide. Things get weird in an emergency. Biden then went directly after Trump over his comments.
Even this morning, Donald Trump said cuts to Social Security and Medicare are on the table again. But the bottom line is, he's still at it. I'm never going to allow that to happen. I won't cut Social Security. I won't cut Medicare.
I love it when it's this easy. My opponent has said that he would take your beloved family dog outside and gut him like a fish. As president, I will not do that. And on Tuesday, the battle between Trump and Biden spread to the House Judiciary Committee as former special counsel Robert Hur testified about his DOJ report, released last month, in which he declined to prosecute President Biden for having classified documents in his Delaware residence, while also taking a scenic detour in order to say that a jury might see Biden sympathetically as an elderly man with a poor memory. Hur's testimony will hopefully and finally answer the question, is it a violation of DOJ ethics to be a snarky little bitch? I also don't know about this assessment with juries anyhow. Have you seen how we treat old people? A jury would probably snap at him in a Jamba Juice for not knowing how to say acai in order to ask what acai is. Hur defended his depiction of Biden's overall mental state, saying his October interview with the president sparked his comments in the report.
Evidence and the president himself put his memory squarely at issue. We interviewed the president and asked him about his recorded statement. Quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. He told us that he didn't remember saying that to his ghostwriter. He also said he didn't remember finding any classified material in his home after his vice presidency. And he didn't remember anything about how classified documents about Afghanistan made their way into his garage.
oh, like you remember how everything in your garage wound up there. I remember coiling up this old hose like it was yesterday. I'll never forget the morning I shoved that yoga mat back there among the rakes. It was a Sunday and absolutely nothing of note happened. This is going to be a very hard sell to anyone that's had to clean out a family member's home after they died. Who knows what's in America's garages? I could have Amelia Earhart's bones in mind for all I know. Vanessa Hudgens grabbed my hands and said the only condition for letting me live in this house is you cannot open the cellar door.
And you never have.
And I never have, and I never will.
I went to my storage unit this weekend for the first time in like a year.
Your storage unit, all I picture, it is a beautiful painting in front of me, which is the storage unit from Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
We open that thing, and it's fucking mannequin heads and American flags.
And you're lucky.
American and just American wild.
Flags?
In the, that, I believe
oh,
it,
in the, oh, yes, yeah, in yeah. that one. Yep. Yeah, there's some Americana in there.
I bet there is.
Sure.
I bet there is. Bet there is. Star Trek stuff.
No, the Star Trek stuff is in the apartment.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that stands for
okay.
you.
Yeah. Okay. Adam Schiff later asked her to cut the shit.
You don't gratuitously do things to prejudice the subject of an investigation when you're declining to prosecute. You don't gratuitously add language that you know will be useful in a political campaign. You were not born yesterday. You understood exactly what you were doing. It was a choice. You certainly didn't have to include that language.
Born yesterday or born evil, the two great American political parties. Of course, this assumes any of us have free will and that our actions aren't inevitably determined by prior events and the material circumstances in which we find ourselves. But yeah, assuming that, here's a piece of shit. Republicans were pissed that the DOJ released the Biden interview transcripts ahead of the hearing, as it actually contained a much more nuanced depiction of Biden's memory.
We've only had a little bit of time to look. I don't think it serves this process well for the Justice Department to dump these transcripts into the public right now. If they were going to be released, they should have been released at a proper time.
Hey, man, we need at least a day to go through a long document and figure out how we're going to lie about it. I know we make it look easy, but actually being a propagandist for a Floridian goon squad takes a fair amount of work. But as Congressman Eric Swalwell pointed out, some of the more flattering exchanges from the Biden interview somehow never made it into HERS report.
You said to President Biden, you appear to have a photographic understanding and recall of the House. Did you say that to President Biden?
Those words do appear on page 47 of the transcript.
Photographic is what you said. Is that right?
That word does appear on page 47 of the transcript.
Never appeared in your report, though. Is that correct? The word photographic?
That does not appear in my report.
The president remembers his own house. Gentlemen, I rest my case. It is pretty damning to have a generalized statement that says Biden doesn't have a good memory and then put in your report that there are moments where you think you are remarking upon his excellent photographic recall.
It's almost like maybe he's not being totally honest or something.
It seems like this guy might have some kind of agenda. Like,
yeah, he does. And he hired some kind of right-wing lawyer. I don't know. This doesn't seem to be on the
I
level.
I don't know about all this.
Anyway, speaking of members of the silent generation exercising incredible power over the planet, Oppenheimer dominated the Academy Awards this weekend, taking home 7 Oscars, including Best Picture. If J. Robert Oppenheimer were alive to see this, I believe he'd say, I am become honored, receiver of accolades. It's too bad that now no one will get to hear my Floppenheimer joke, which you have now all just heard. Never mind.
Hell yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. also won for Oppenheimer and thanked his terrible childhood as he accepted his Best Supporting Actor Oscar. This is why we do this, said a mother applying makeup with a hand that is also holding car keys on the face of a wailing child sitting on the counter of a bathroom in the Bob's Big Boy next to the Warner Brothers lot in Burbank. I think there's something about the makeup with the keys in your hand that kind of expresses the chaotic nature and terrible. They're late and there's just stuff happening.
And that is happening somewhere right now.
Oh, yeah. And soon there'll be a star and we'll know their name.
Jonathan Glazer was the only winner to address the war in Gaza directly during his acceptance speech for Zone of Interest's Best International Feature.
Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. Whether the victims of October the... Whether the victims of October the 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all are victims of this dehumanization. How do we resist?
I didn't understand why I completely knew John Cena was standing next to him, but I agree 1,000%. I guess people took out the part he said, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness. being hijacked.
Yes,
but
right.
People took it as refuting the Jewishness. But it was very clearly about not wanting Jewishness to be hijacked in the name of Netanyahu's war.
100%.
Okay, you can't just take the first half of a sentence and
change the whole
thing. Right. Well, it's the same playbook as Republicans, unfortunately. It's just sort of like, we'll have a semantic argument about how the sentence was structured rather than the sentiment.
But the sentence was actually structured completely correctly.
Oh, absolutely. Sure, sure. Yeah. It's just sort of like, the only way to argue with what he's saying is to make it a semantic argument, because you can't argue with what he's saying, morally.
And before Al Pacino announced Best Picture, Jimmy Kimmel read Donald Trump's review of his hosting gig, because Donald Trump apparently watched or at least took in a fair amount of the Oscars and then decided he was going to make fun of Jimmy Kimmel and George Stephanopoulos.
I was told we have like an extra minute, and I'm really proud of something. I was wondering if I could share it with you. I just got a review, and has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Sloppanopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again. See if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth. Anyone? No? Well, thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still watching. Isn't it past your jail time?
It's funny, but I'm not laughing until that guy dies in prison. Then I'm laughing. I'm talking about Jimmy Kimmel. No. I really, we were talking about this yesterday on Pod Save America, which is that George Sloppanopoulos is so,
so
stupid,
funny.
But it's excellent.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. It doesn't mean anything. It's not smart. It doesn't make a point. It's
also just
nothing.
A stray for George Stephanopoulos. Like, watch the Oscars.
Well, because, because George Stephanopoulos did a mean interview because he didn't like the moment George Stephanopoulos had with Nancy Mace.
Oh,
it's all because he's been sitting in his house stewing and watching TV all day.
Yeah.
Got it.
George Sloppanopoulos would just be a great thing to call someone whose desk is messy. Yeah. All right, yeah. George Sloppanopoulos.
Hell yeah. I'm going to save that one for myself.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
What a Weekday is brought to you by Indochino. Just because something is quick and convenient doesn't mean it has to be low quality. Indochino makes fully custom suits, shirts, and outerwear with hand-selected high-quality fabrics, and you don't even have to leave the house to get it. Measure yourself in 10 minutes or visit a showroom, wear your suit right out of the box, and save your measurement profile to make future orders fast. Create a suit that fits you and your style perfectly with endless customization options to get you the exact look you want. From buttons and vests to pockets and lapels, select your styles and they'll build it. Blazers, pants, women's wear, outerwear, and more. Designed and made for you. Hundreds of high-quality fabrics to choose from. Quality European wools. You know?
That's the good stuff right there.
Bonus era, you know? Linen and cotton. You know, cotton. Wide-ranging colors and patterns. Design a look personalized to your style and taste without the luxury price tag. Huge fan of Indochino.
Huge!
They got an Indochino store in the, in Rick Caruso's... Americana.
Americana, okay.
And so, get a quick visit to the Indochino store and some Cheesecake Factory. Great fucking day. Great fucking day. Look good, feel good. That's my rule. That's my feeling.
That's a good
rule. So I'm a huge fan of Indochino. Make quality convenient with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use the code LOVEIT to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's 10% off at Indochino.com. Indochino.com. Code LOVEIT.
The constant political chaos can be a lot. You gotta mix it up with a little regular chaos. Go behind the pods with Terminally Online, Cricket's loosest show, where the news takes a backseat to the unscripted antics of your favorite Pod Save America and Cricket Media hosts and staffers. Here, love it, learning about dating apps.
I was single in my 20s, and then yada, 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 I was single in my 40s.
Listen to my sage advice on being kind to retail workers. Just smile, walk away. You don't have a right to be an asshole. And enjoy Tommy celebrating the unrelenting wheel of time.
Time comes for all of us. You will all be out of touch with the culture. You'll all be asking someone what some equivalent of a yassified means.
Terminally Online is a subscriber-exclusive show. To get access, subscribe to our Friends of the Pod community at cricket.com/friends.
My name is Sarah, and I got involved with Vote Save America way back in 2018 when it first launched.
My name is Nancy, and I first got involved in VSA in 2018.
Ever since then, Vote Save America has been the best part of my political engagement. Anytime the election anxiety starts to feel overwhelming, I remind myself that my anxiety relief program donation is fueling grassroots organizations around the country.
And VSA has the Political Action Finder, a handy website I've used to find phone banks, knowing that I'm helping to win critical House seats.
In fact, I already signed up to volunteer with the Political Action Finder on the VSA website and helped replace disgraced former volleyball star George Santos.
So if you're someone who doesn't want to wake up on November 6th this year and regret not doing more, and I'm pretty sure you are, go to votesaveamerica.com to get started, and I'll see you at a phone bank soon.
This message has been paid for by Vote Save America. You can learn more at votesaveamerica.com. And this ad has not been authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
But this week hasn't just been about American drama. Ahead of the holidays, Kate Middleton, a princess, announced she'd been having, she announced she'd be having abdominal surgery on January 16th and has yet to step back into public life, her absence sparking an explosion of conspiracy theories about her whereabouts. And as someone who will cite a cold from February to get out of a dinner in May, my hat is off to her. It does put everything else aside. As of right now, it just sounds like this is a person who had a serious surgery of some kind and doesn't want to be in public. And people have lost their fucking minds. That's a truly unhinged speculation. Here's where I think our investigative priorities need to be moving forward. One, why are all the airplanes broken? Two, what's up with the Russian space news? Mm-hmm. Three, does Ozempic make your butt fall off if you take it for more than a year? I'd like to know the answer to that. That's important.
I think that's important.
Hey, and then this thing with the middle, with the princess.
Yeah, this is a good four.
The conspiracy theorists put some points on the board when the palace posted a photo of Middleton with her three children. However, internet sleuths quickly determined that the photo had been digitally altered. And it was at this point that I was forced to ask the Love It or Leave It team with a heavy heart, oh, what's all this then?
This is also when I, for the very longest time, had just been like, this is a woman. We know that she had three very, very tough pregnancies. And I thought that she was having a hysterectomy. That's where I was. They said abdominal surgery. I took that as fact. My problem now is, and I don't believe any of like the crazy, crazy stuff, but my problem with all of this is that Kensington Palace is the only source for any of this information. And they release, we know that they lie. We know for a fact that has been documented. We know they lied when William had a terrible COVID case back in 2020. They told us he was not sick at all. We know that's fake. If you read The Spare, which y'all made me read for this program, we know that it is Harry and Meghan claim that they lie all the time and they release information as it benefits them. And you can't fact check any of the information because the only way to fact check is to go back to Kensington Palace, and then Kensington Palace will say, we have released the information that we're going to release.
Yeah, we don't know what it is. We don't know what's going on. Like, this is a very famous, very wealthy family with the imprimatur of a government behaving like any hyper wealthy people that want to not talk about something that's going on in their lives. And the fact that it is connected to a government in some ridiculous way lends it this kind of importance and air of significance. But basically what we have are some rich people bumbling through a PR crisis trying to keep a secret. We just don't know what the secret is. Until we do, I don't like, you know, there's all these people saying all these, like, oh, they're getting divorced. There's an affair. There's this, there's that. Like, maybe they're not handling it correctly, but certainly they are aware that time will continue to pass, right?
<don't>
like there are people out there who are putting forward conspiracy theories that would require somehow for this woman to never be in public again.
So I think Easter, if we're taking Kensington Palace at their word,
and
Easter,
we are,
is the moment where you can really actually then start to cross the Rubicon.
Where she'll rise again.
Well, that is what they have claimed. Easter is when we will start seeing her publicly again. I just think it would have gone so far for them to just have her. If they wanted to do a proof of life, which this weird image clearly, it was what they were trying to do, just like put her on camera for 10 seconds. Thank you for the well wishes. Goodbye.
Sure. But what if she just doesn't want to because she feels like unhappy and sad?
Yeah, that's obviously
because
what's
she
going
feels
on.
Like she doesn't look pretty because she just went through a surgery. Like, why is everyone jumping to? Why do people jump right from this photo is altered to she's fucking
no,
dead?
I'm not, but again, I'm not there. And the reason I will refute what you just said, not refute, I will go back at you.
No, refute him.
Saying refute that it. This is a woman, again, had three terrible pregnancies. 4 hours after giving birth, in all of those cases, they paraded that woman out of the hospital while she was probably still bleeding into a diaper and made her stand there and take pictures holding that baby when any normal woman would like still be on her back in the hospital bed.
But again, it's like, okay, like it sounds like she's had a really hard time. Maybe the surgery is a part of that, and she just doesn't want to be in public. And maybe there are people coming in and saying, "Hey, like people really want to see." And she's like, "Get out of here, leave me alone." Like I just, as a rule, malevolence tends not to be the correct answer in situations like this. The answer tends to be people bumbling and making mistakes and not getting on the same page or being afraid to say something or being afraid, right? Like she's not only a princess, she's also the boss who knows. I just would like, it is obviously strange, but it's also people are strange and people behave in strange ways while also telling the truth.
I'm just impressed by how bad they are at this, at shutting down a story when the whole story of the royal family is them trying and failing to shut down stories and they haven't figured this out.
Yeah. And that's what they have been very good at that. And that's why I'm saying, like, if they wanted us to see her, we would be seeing her.
Yeah. But to your point, either way, on Easter, we'll know when they roll the stone away from her tomb and we'll see if she's still in there.
Palace watchers could tell that the photo was digitally altered because AI still can't get the fingers right. For example, this is a picture of King Charles's fingers. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm being told that those are not AI fingers. Those are his
they're shocking
actual fingers. In one of the many unhinged but honestly pretty convincing TikToks about the missing princess, one woman outlined how she believed the photo is from a November 23rd visit Kate Middleton made to a children's nonprofit with her family with the colors tweaked. I personally don't like how much energy Americans are expending on this. We got to pick our battles. Let the Limeys figure this one out. They still have legal abortion over there. Following the release of the photo, the royal family official Twitter account posted this message from Kate. Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. See, it was Mother's Day in the UK. They celebrate it earlier because they like their moms more.
How convenient.
Just your average mom and princess tinkering around on a boring Saturday with the Adobe Creative Suite. The mystery has also reignited speculation online about Prince William's alleged affair with family friend Lady Rose Hanbury, the Marchioness of Cholmondeley, rumors of which swirled in late 2023. Patriots died in the Revolutionary War so that you and I would never have to care about the Marchioness of Cholmondeley. Don't let those people have died in vain.
Let's give them a little insider. Did you spell that out phonetically, or are you reading how Cholmondeley is actually spelled?
Before we recorded, as the professional that
you're
I am.
You're professional.
I actually already knew that Cholmondeley is pronounced Cholmondeley. And because that is so far, I didn't need to put it. Like, if it was closer, I would need to actually put in the phonetics. But because that word is cuckoo bananas and I know it's Cholmondeley, I just said Cholmondeley. But I did have to look up a pronunciation of Marchioness.
Yeah.
Which I think I got right.
I think that's right.
During last Thursday's episode of Love It or Leave It. During last Thursday's episode of Love It or Leave It, we asked the eternal question, when we're talking about 69ing, does each number circle represent a person's head or their genitals or something else? To me, this was obvious. To this group of people sitting here, it was obvious. It goes without saying that the circles are heads and the little tails are little genitals.
Of course.
Or bodies. Yes. Could just
right,
be bodies.
Just a body.
Yeah.
I thought it was bodies.
Well, because sometimes you don't have the little loop, but sometimes it's just a straight line. That's the body.
Yeah.
As part of this controversy, we invited the team, the writers behind Love It or Leave It, to contribute their thoughts on the matter. These are their thoughts. First, we have from Hallie. You know how people on TikTok invent new slang to try to go viral, but then they just look foolish? That's what this is. This is foolishness. It's obviously the head.
I'm turning 40 this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is one thing we're not going to change. We all know what the 69 is. It's the heads. And I won't hear anyone else tell me differently. It's too late. This is one part of America that cannot change.
So that's your view, echoed by Sarah Lazarus, who said, "We will never be able to solve climate change if Americans can't agree on something as basic and indisputable as the circles are the heads."
we can all have different opinions, but we have to have a shared set of facts.
Yes.
And one of those facts is the circles are the heads.
100%.
And yet, Jossie.
One of our writers.
Fantastic writer.
Someone I used to respect.
Said this. To me, it's as simple as tongues and holes.
What?
Tongues and holes as far as the eye can see.
I do like that it implies that 69 is inherently two vaginas.
Yeah, wait.
Or
the ass.
Or two assholes. Right. All right. Well, okay.
Next. As a teen, I pictured the 6 and the 9 as the open-mouth smiling profiles of just the heads.
This
like
is
they're
insane.
Just That's happy just... to be 69ing. We have an illustration.
Okay. All right. Okay. We have to include this photo.
Which led Peter to say that this makes it seem like teenage Alan thought that 69ing was slang for the upside-down Spider-Man kiss.
Oh, I could see someone thinking that. If they were a child.
I'm sorry, what are these little loops at the end?
Those are tongues.
Those are their
Kendra,
tongues.
Kendra, those are tongues.
Did he draw this?
I hope so.
I think he might have drawn this.
Now, we have Mahanad, who said, in Biden's America, the circles are the heads and 69ing is nice. In Trump's America, the circles are the genitals and 69ing is no longer nice.
Yeah.
So choose what the circles are wisely, because one is democracy and the other is fascism.
Mm-hmm.
Peter continued. 6 and 9 aren't pictograms. Classic Peter. They don't correspond to human anatomy. 69 is the sex number because it's the only pair of Hindu-Arabic numerals that's just the same arbitrary symbol rotated 180 degrees. That's what 69ing is all about. Rotating 180 degrees so you and your partner can go to town. I know a lot of people are thinking, I can't help it. When 6 is placed next to 9, I see two little stick figures pleasuring each other. Honestly, that's fine. You're free to fantasize about stick figures doing anything you want, but you should keep that to yourself.
Here's my problem with that theory. Why would we choose numbers at all if it was just about rotations? It could have been any shape, any letter.
Right.
It could have been anything.
That's an important point.
I think what's important about the numbers is that they have the circles, which again are heads.
Oh, the heads, yeah.
And finally, there is no answer. It's like asking, is a hot dog a sandwich? Hot dogs, sandwiches, numbers, oral sex, all of these are human inventions. Ultimately, it's up to all of us to decide for ourselves whether the loop part is the head or the hole. And that was also from Peter, and I think a beautiful place to leave it.
Yeah.
Could have called it MWing. If it was just about rotations.
Oh.
Or, right. Well, because you're right. Yeah, there does.
Yeah.
You're right. That's
which
not enough. It has
right.
to vaguely look like bodies approaching each
yes.
other.
Yeah.
They are, which is why they are the heads.
I think.
Though you could do you could have E and then the sum sign, which is a Greek letter.
That's
69
for
dweebs. Find that on the keyboard. Yeah.
Right. You got to go to Wingdings.
Fucking with Wingdings.
And speaking of wings, like a migratory bird, I have sensed the approaching spring and have no choice but to take flight. Sorry. What I mean is, Love It or Leave It is going on tour again. It all starts in the Moon Tower Festival in Austin, Texas on April 21st. Then this summer we'll be hitting cities like Asheville, Madison, Pittsburgh, and more. If you wanted to get tickets right now, Friends of the Pod subscribers have exclusive access to the presale code and the best seats in the house, so you can subscribe now at crooked.com/friends to get that code. Learn more about where we're headed at crooked.com/events. Come see us on tour. And there's a bunch of shows on sale right now. DC's almost sold out.
Where are you most excited to go?
I won't say. Simply won't say.
Where are you least excited to go?
Also won't say. I'm excited to go everywhere. Every place has a food I want to eat.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And that's America. And that's our show. I want to thank Kendra, Hallie, Sarah, and the whole team for another perfect episode of What a Weekday. I'll see you sluts on Saturday.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're already already doom scrolling, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for access to your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join our Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free episodes, exclusive content, and a great discussion on Discord. Plus, it's a great way to get involved with Vote Save America, so sign up today at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer, and Chris Lord is our producer. Hallie Keeper is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, Will Miles, and Mohamed El Shiki are our writers. Evan Sutton is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer, and Milo Kim is our videographer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shore Shore. Thanks to our designer, Bernardo Serna, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast, and to our digital producers, Zuri Irvin, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, and Matt DeGroat, for filming and editing video each week so you can.
It's Love It or Leave It.
Hey, Kendra.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest item in your storage locker?
There's so much Warhammer shit in there because that's my husband's stuff.
Dweeb.
What would we think is the weirdest thing?
Yeah, that's right. That's such an important
question. That's an important
question.
Distinction.
Yeah. If you're a normal person.
Imagine you're sitting here asking you, not what you think is weird.
I have a...
Oh my God.
All these classified documents from Afghanistan. No.
I have the tuxedo jacket that used to belong to the man who wrote the Long Telegraph in like the 1930s.
Oh,
I wanted to say his last name was Keenan.
Yeah, George Keenan.
From the State Department. Have his tuxedo jacket.
You have George Keenan's tuxedo jacket.
I sure do.
Wow. From... You never wear it.
I will bring. I'll bring that in.
We'll bring it. We'll show it off on here.
Yep, I have it. Wow. I went to
for all the dweebs who watch.
I got it from his estate sale in Princeton.
Wow.
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 Pretty cool.
That is neat.
I do own that. I used to use it for my Zatanna Zatara cosplay costume.
Just like George would have wanted.